may want to come in.
So if you want to turn to that, it says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in."
Good morning. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm really particularly been blessed by my study of Proverbs through the month and reading through it. And I've really been blessed by being reminded once way, way back. I remember reading through the book of Proverbs and studying the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is really a great book for Christian living, how we should live our lives and how we should conduct our lives and the way that we should go. And really, if you look at Proverbs, Proverbs is directed to teenagers. I was really glad to see Brandy and Grace up here as teenagers, because Proverbs is really directed to the young men, to the young people. And the instruction that comes from that is really a wonderful, wonderful message. I really felt, I was thinking about that. I remember Brian in high school. I remember praying for him, you know, as a high schooler in my high school class. And I realized, wow, she's where you were back then. You know, that was really great to see that God's been faithful to Brian and his family. Brian, you can be commended for the way you're raising your children. And so, Brian, I would actually encourage you to do something with your family using the book of Proverbs, especially now as they approach their teen years. Because the book of Proverbs is specifically directed to young people, and as directed to young people, is trying to give them wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, imparting wisdom that can come from God. God is your Savior, God is your Lord, and He wants to impart to you the wisdom to live your life according to His plan and according to His blessing and to live in His blessing. And that's the purpose of Proverbs. The 30 chapters of Proverbs is specifically addressing wisdom. Today, my topic is prudence. Prudence. Prudence is not a word that we use often today, and actually because it has some negative connotations. Prude, being a prude, is very negative. It has a negative connotation. It means like being boorish or boring or something of that sort. So to be a prude is really not a good thing. However, the wisdom behind the word prudence is still there, and it's emphasized in Scripture, and is one of the things that we probably neglect teaching as far as having the tools for life. That we are to approach all our decisions and all our choices with prudence. And so we have that emphasized today. Each week we have sought to emphasize to you what it means to direct your life according to the Scriptures. Your feet point you in a certain direction, we have learned. And you will live the rest of your life according to the direction that you take. Life is a series of decisions, and we live the rest of our lives with the consequences of our decisions. A path not taken, a painful regret, a relationship lost, or perhaps a dream abandoned. Every day we make decisions about what to do with our time, what to do with our resources, what to do with our money, what we should actually do with our lives. The choices we make today impact our tomorrow. And this is so specifically to the young person who is making the choices about what to do with their lives. It says, the scriptures say, "Ponder the paths of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." Proverbs 4:26 calls us to pause and to think about your situation, your circumstances, your decisions, responses, and actions and reactions in light of your future direction. What you do today affects your tomorrow. This is a truth. Think deeply about the direction of your life. Where are you going? And how are you going to get there? consider the direction you are headed and what is the direction of each step that you're taking. Each day is a movement in one direction or another. As Christians, we are to avail ourselves of the wisdom of God and in Proverbs and the Word of God to help point ourselves in the right directions, that our paths may be straight. You know, it's true that even if you do not plan to go somewhere, inevitably you're going to end up somewhere. Our instruction from Scripture is always to be aware of this. Are you planning to go somewhere? Are you aiming intentionally for the direction in your life from God? Are you making daily small decisions that keep you on that straight path, that right path? That is intentional living. As a committed Christian, then we must all seek to intentionally live a life God wants us to. Living intentionally means not just living as life happens. Too many of us are living a life day to day and one day at a time. Yet, while one day at a time sounds good, and it is probably a great coping mechanism when you're going through a tough time, it is not necessarily a wise decision to live one day at a time. Herein is the wisdom of the Scriptures, as we found in the book of Proverbs. We can and ought to live our lives intentionally, and we can and ought to live our lives in accordance with God's direction. As Christians, especially as Christians, we need to let life not just happen to us. We need to live a life led by God. The book of Proverbs is God's wisdom to get us through this life. The book of Proverbs helps us get us through life. We need to live a life, again, led by God. My subject this morning, again, is prudence. Prudence is a valuable tool. Prudence is a valuable form of wisdom that we need to apply to our lives, and we need to learn what it is all about. It is one of God's wisdoms that he would impart to us. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you've trusted in God for salvation, he's asking you to trust him with your life as well. Trust him through your life. Do not lean on your own understanding, but lean on the wisdom of God. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Continue to worship him. Continue to be with him. Continue to read the word. Continue to seek God out throughout all your life. And he will make your path straight. It's already been shared with us from James 1. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is available to us for wisdom. God is available to us for direction and how we should direct our lives, and we should always seek him for wisdom. Proverbs 1:4 says, "To give prudence to the naive and to the youth, knowledge and discretion." My son, Proverbs 4 continues and says, "My son, give attention to my words." You notice that attention to the youth and to the sons, imparting wisdom. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight up in front of you. Watch the path of your feet." Watch the path of your feet. Each step that you take is a step towards God or away from God. Each step you take is either helping you in your life and making going the path straight, or going awry from him. "And all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil." Proverbs 15:1-2. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The mouth of fools spouts folly." Now, I know I'm repeating some of the Proverbs that you've already heard from the other men in this month. Proverbs 8:12. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. and I find knowledge and discretion. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the sensible, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. And Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. And Proverbs 13:6, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Prudence is, again, not a word that we use easily around here. It used to be actually a popular name for women to be called prudence, and it was often shortened for prue. But that's not a common name now. It is actually not a common, I would say, quality that we're looking. You don't hear prudence taught in schools. You know, you don't hear preached, taught in classrooms. It's not one of those qualities or characteristics that's talked about. What is prudence, and why is it so important to God, and why is it so important to your life, and why does he teach it so much and repeat it so much in the book of Proverbs? One way of looking at it is just going for the definitions. Merriam-Webster defines prudence as the ability to govern and discipline oneself by use of reason, sagacity or shrewdness in the management of affairs, skill and judgment in the use of resources, and caution or circumspection as to the danger of risk. Several different aspects of the definition of prudence. An online dictionary describes it as this: prudence is care, caution, and good judgment, as well as wisdom in looking ahead. Sober prudence is in handling one's affairs. And then finally, there's a biblical definition. And it's not far off from actually the modern definition. The Dictionary of the Bible Themes defines it as this: prudence, careful, wise discernment, the avoidance of rash behavior or speech, the good management of talents and resources, and the showing of tact and wisdom in relationships with people. Words associated with prudence are foresight, caution, wise use of knowledge, wise speech, a teachable spirit, and good management. Prudence is much more than knowledge. Wisdom is much more than knowledge. Wisdom and prudence mean you take what you know and you bring it all together and make wise decisions. I feel a particular affinity, I guess, to prudence, prudence type of wisdom, because I was and always have been, ask my wife, I was born old. I was born old. Yeah, one of my favorite books was The Kill a Mockingbird. It was also a great movie. And in the book, the kids come together at the beginning of the book, and the scout, the girl who is the narrator and telling the story, she meets Dill. Dill is from out of town. He's coming here. He's visiting for the summer. And Dill looks different, and Dill acts different than any kids that she knows. And one of the things that Dill says, he acts much older than he is. And one of the he says about his aunt says that Dill was born old. You know, and the fact of the matter is that my wife has always said that about me. And as a matter of fact, I remember watching the movie once. She goes, "That's you." In reference to words, as Doug has already spoken about, prudence is especially shown in words. Prudence means we are careful to speak to, we are careful not to speak too soon, and always to speak the truth. Sometimes we learn from Doug, it's better not to say anything at all. Sometimes it is better to just be quiet. The prudent thing sometimes is to just remain quiet. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. Proverbs 10:19. And whoever restrains his lips is prudent, because a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The connection between wisdom and prudence is seen throughout the Proverbs, showing that prudence is a form of wisdom. Prudence, I believe, is the ability to take your knowledge of facts, to take your knowledge of facts and circumstance, and by wisdom make good decisions. Prudence is the decision, is both the decision and the action taken from that form of wisdom. Someone who is being prudent is careful or wise in handling practical matters and exercising good judgment and common sense. That is basically what prudent is. Sometimes non-prudence can lead to devastating circumstances. The non-prudent person is often a very dangerous person. Just as prudence is essential, an essential quality characteristic that you must develop for yourself, especially as a Christian, a person lacking prudence can do a lot of damage to themselves and feel and somewhat ruin their lives. Depending on their position in life and who they are responsible for. An example of this kind of thing would be the captain and the bridge officers of the Titanic. Perhaps it was hubris on their part. They truly felt that such a large and modern ship would be impervious to icebergs and by design unsinkable. And so they proceeded at a faster rate than they probably should have. They proceeded without the care, thinking that their ship was invincible. He showed no prudence in his navigation of this giant cruise ship and ignored multiple warnings of icebergs. Disasters follow, and thousands died. So can some minor disasters happen in your life when you do not make prudent decisions. And so the reason that you make, that you need to develop the wisdom behind prudence. Let us remember that Proverbs is directed to young people. Proverbs 15:5 goes like this: a foolish son despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Children, listen to your parents' instruction, especially if you know that your parents are Christian, because they've got the very best for you. They want you to develop into God's servant. They want you to develop and they want you to be blessed. They really do. And that's something that you need to recognize. So listen to them. Listen to them. Let us remember that Proverbs is about knowledge. That Proverbs is about wisdom. Knowledge is good. Education is good. But knowledge and education are not all of it. There is a certain amount of knowledge and especially wisdom that comes from time and experience that can be learned, that can't be learned from a textbook. This is how the prudent of heart avoids certain catastrophes in their life. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Again, wisdom goes beyond knowledge. Wisdom takes on what we know by knowledge, what we know by time and experience, and what we know by human nature, and what we know by God by revelation. I want to repeat that. Wisdom goes beyond knowledge. Wisdom takes what we know by knowledge, what we know by time and experience, and what we know by human nature, and what we know of God by revelation. You put it all together, and you have prudent wisdom. To be prudent is to take all of that together in word, and in action. Putting the wisdom that God has given you, the prudence to make decisions, and putting it into action. Prudence is also very important in our decision making. Throughout our lives, we are called upon to make some serious, critical decisions. Who will I identify with? Who will I associate with? Who will I marry? Where will I go for education? What will I do for education? What will I do for a profession? Where will I live? These are all decisions that are made particularly among teenagers and particularly among young people. But they're not decisions that we finish making at a certain point in our lives. And so it applies to all of us. There are all decisions that need to be made with prudent wisdom. Wisdom that is available from God. The Christian will not make these decisions lightly. In fact, when we don't think about these things using wisdom and prudence, we make some serious mistakes. And that is when we throw up our arms and we dismiss ourselves and say, life happens. Christians, God doesn't want you to live life haphazardly as it happens. God doesn't want you to have life happen to you. God wants you in prudent wisdom to design your life and to be part a partaker in how your life goes. He has given you the gift of a good mind. Most of all, he has revealed himself to you. He wants you to make decisions based on the knowledge you have obtained by his design and by his faith, the faith that he has given you to make sound decisions. Putting this all together, we come together with a statement something like this. God wants us to make decisions based on, one, our knowledge, what we know about time and experience, from time and experience, what we know about human nature, and what we know about of God by revelation. Prudence enables us to make good, sound decisions. It's a wisdom that we need to develop as Christians, especially as Christians, and so that we can follow the path that God has designed for us to live our lives. Again, we have been saying it all along in our study of Proverbs. God wants us to live deliberately. God wants us not to live deliberately and not haphazardly. Prudent decision-making will go a long way in helping us do that. We must not let life be just an uncertain chain of events that we react to and respond with emotion and hopeless resignation. Life, as God wants us to live, is based on sound decision-making and actions taken by sound decision-making. We want to be where we are by our own design and by the leading of God, the design of God, rather than being a victim of circumstance. A key element concerning prudence is the wisdom to recognize your strengths and weaknesses. It can help us to do certain things based on our knowledge of self, and it keeps us from doing things that we should not be doing, or we should not do. A tremendous example of this can be seen in chapter 7, which was our scripture reading. For discretion's sake, I only had us read through verses 1 through 9. If you look at that, I would encourage you to look at that. You would see that the next section there is very important because the young man makes the wrong decision. However, what you might think by the wrong decision is not what you're probably thinking of. This is a great example of prudence. After you read the first 9 verses, you go to chapter 24. I'll skip that for discretion's sake. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray in her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way of Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. So what happens here is essentially the young man goes down the wrong path, and it leads to his demise. It leads to his spiritual death. At least he leads him into great sin. Okay. He has made what is the example here in prudence is the very decision that he made to go down that path. We might think it is the sin that he involves himself in and the person that he visits. But in actuality, it's the very decision at the beginning of the chapter to walk down that path. He was called naive and simple. And because he's naive and simple, he took that path. Now, the fact of the matter is that that neighborhood was probably well known. That street was probably well known for what the activity that was going on there. But he decided that he would still go down that path. And he was ripped into the tide, brought into the sin that he should never have gone down that path. It's a great lesson of prudence for us in the fact that how many times have we gone down a path that we should have decided at the very beginning not to go that way. I liken it to the fact that, you know, this is just common sense, people. If you have a drinking problem, an alcohol problem, then don't go in that bar. Don't go into that liquor store. If you have a problem with gaming, if you like that challenge, that risk of losing money and putting up money, then don't go in that casino. It's not that you go in. It's the sin is certainly there. But the very fact that you made the imprudent decision to go to that place is what's wrong with the example that we get here. The young man made the decision to go down into that neighborhood, and he was drawn in. He should never, the prudent decision would be, yeah, I need to get to that place, but I'm going to go this way. You know, I'm going to go around that neighborhood. I'm going to go down a different street. He made the imprudent decision to go down that. Wise decision making is what would have led this man to not go down that way. Wise decision making would have us avoid trouble and temptation. The prudent thing for this man to do was to have gone a different way. Brothers and sisters, if something really pulls at you, if it really tempts you, it really compels you to do something that you probably should not do, then don't even go down that path. Don't even go that way. Avoid it. That's wisdom. That is prudent wisdom. If you really get a thrill out of risk of anything, and it just compels you, it's almost addictive, then you need to say to yourself, you need to say to yourself, is this good for me? Should I even go that way? Don't go down the wrong path. Stay on the right path, the correct path. Prudent decision making means that you will commit yourself to taking that next step in the correct path. Not to the left, not to the left, right. Right or to the left. Prudent decision making ought to be applied to anything. Again, prudent decision making means based on what you know about the activity, based on what you know about yourself, based on the possible negative consequences of these activities, you need to make the decision to go that way or abstain from that activity at all. This also has to do with certain financial decisions as well. Prudent decision making concerning financial decisions is very important. Prudent decision making is not made out of emotional state or desire for self-pleasure. What I mean by this is that the prudent decision making is very important concerning what we do with our finances. This applies to life's major financial decisions. Can I tell you another thing about myself? I hate being sold something. One of the things that probably irritates my wife is I have to make a decision to buy something, especially a major purchase like a computer or a car, anything like that, a major decision. I take my time. I take a long time. I take too much time for my wife. She wants, by the time I make a decision, she's like, "Well, you make a decision." One of the reasons that I do that is I hate to be sold anything. I want everything I buy to be based on a sound decision. Take, for instance, a car. I want to make sure that to make a decision based on our needs, the need for a car to be reliable. Reliability can be researched. I want to take into consideration how often it needs to be repaired and what the cost of repairs would be into the future. I need the car to be economically efficient. I need a car to seat everyone in the family or everyone that we need to. So before I go car shopping, I have a pretty good idea of what kind of car I want, and I have a pretty good idea of what kind of price I have. I do a lot of research like that, and, you know, I've eliminated some cars that, you know, ooh, that's a nice-looking car. But when you find out, when you do your research, you know, there's plenty of consumer reports and those kinds of things. Do your research. Then when you go on into the showroom, the guy is not going to be able to sell you. You have an idea of what you want. You know, it is his job to sell you something. I hate being sold something. I want to buy something, okay? There is a major difference. I want to buy a car because I need a car. But I don't want a salesman to sell me something because he's going to try to sell me something that I don't need. He's going to sell me something at a higher price. And that's essentially his job, but that can be applied to anything. You go into Best Buy, and they want to say, you know, they always want to bring you up to the next computer. Before you get there, make the sound decision what you are looking for, what you need, and don't get sold the bells and whistles if you don't need those bells and whistles, if you really don't want those bells and whistles. And the same thing goes for, I made a decision a long, long time ago never to buy anything at the door, never to sign anything at the door. I know that signing may be a little bit rough, but when somebody's knocking on the door, you know what they're doing? they're going to sell you something. They're going to sell you on an idea or sell you a product. Okay? I don't make decisions that fast. I won't make decisions that fast because I believe that prudent decisions are not made at the door. If I want to buy something, I've thought about it. I see the need. Somebody's selling me a vacuum cleaner. Now, they don't do that anymore, but, you know, they used to have the days when they were knocking to sell a vacuum cleaner. Well, you know what? If I didn't think I needed the vacuum cleaner 10 minutes before he knocked on the door, then I probably don't need that vacuum cleaner. And I probably shouldn't purchase something from a salesman whose job it is to sell me something. And because the fact of the matter is, I'm not buying something. I'm being sold something. And there is a major difference. A warning. A modern day version of this kind of salesmanship is in the form of pop-ups. Pop-ups appear on your screen and just about every website. Most of them are trying to sell you something. Most of them are trying to convince you of the need for something. Something that you had no inkling of before that popped up on your screen. Folks, prudent decision-making means you don't allow yourself to be sold things and sold on ideas. Prudent decision-making means that you've thought and you will buy things based on your reasoning, your need, based on sound reasoning and decision-making and seeking God in it. You don't allow yourself to be sold or buy into something in the moment or at that moment. I can remember a time when I was in there, we were getting high pressure to buy a car. We certainly were interested in it, but I told the salesman that I wanted to pray over it. I'll call him tomorrow. He gave me every kind of excuse to get to sign today. He was, you know, like, we've got other buyers, people are calling, you know, I've got another person interested in all this. And actually, it was a weekend, so I wasn't going to get back to him until Monday. And, you know, I thought the prudent decision is going to be found when I seek God in it. And if it's not there for sale Monday, then God didn't want it. And then God didn't want it. And it was there on Monday, and we did end up buying it. But it wasn't because I got sold the car. I prayed over the car. I looked at it. I had done my research on it. Proverbs 5:4, 5, and 6 says, "Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established." Watch the path of your feet. Watch where you're going. You know, sometimes we can get distracted. We can say, "Ooh, that looks good. That's fun. Somebody's promising something else, the promise of something else." But keep your eyes focused on God. Keep your eyes focused on the path that God would have you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Proverbs, wisdom. God wants us to use our heads. He wants us to use our minds, certainly. He wants us to be wise in our decision-making. God is on our side, folks. That's one of the great things. When we have God, God is on our side. And at our side when we make decisions. We need to avail ourselves of His guidance and His wisdom concerning all aspects of our lives. God wants us to give us prudent wisdom as a way to make us strong, as a way to make us a way through life. This has to do with intentional living, and that's what Proverbs is trying to say. We need to live our lives intentionally for God. We need to live our lives intentionally for Christ. We can control our lives through prudent thinking and decision making. Prudent decisions will allow us to live intentionally as a witness to Christ. Each step you take on the path of life has to do with the decisions you make. Your future is determined by the decisions you make today. Your future is determined by the decisions you make each day. Make your decisions by seeking God in every one of them and using the knowledge and the wisdom He has imparted you to make that decision. Nobody wants to be a fool. God's answer to this is your ability to listen to Him and His Word as you can make prudent decisions and put them into action. Did you notice how many times the opposite or the comparison to the prudent was the foolish? Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he keeps silence, is considered wise, but when he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Proverbs 12:23. Even a fool, when he keeps silence, is considered wise. It's repeated. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Nobody wants to be a fool. Christians, God doesn't want you to live your life haphazardly. He wants you to live a life walking the straight path. God wants to give you direction, and he gives you the gift of wisdom and the gift of prudence if you allow yourself to develop those skills. It is what he would impart to you in the book of Proverbs, and the reason to live life wisely. Most of all, he has revealed himself to you. He wants you to make decisions based on the knowledge you have obtained and the knowledge that you have him as your guide, as your Savior, as your Lord. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to make sound decisions. We do that by using prudence. This is the instruction of Proverbs. This is the wisdom of Proverbs. This is what we, older Christians, I guess, would want to pass on to our young people. That wisdom is sought, prudence in making decision making is important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being our Heavenly Father, our God, our Savior, our Lord. And Father, we thank you that you have not removed yourself from us, but you are present in our lives, that you want to be present in everything that we do. We ask that you would teach us how to take each step with you as our guide, each step with you as our wisdom, and to develop the ability to know you and to know your direction in our lives. Father in heaven, help us to surrender ourselves this day, Lord. Would our next step be one that follows you? We ask that you would teach us what that step would be, and that we do, in fact, take that step. Our God in heaven, as we go from here, we thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the presence of being here in this fellowship. We thank you that you have brought us together. We pray, Father, that you really will minister to us. Use these words to be an encouragement in our lives and direction in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.